This is On Target with Penny Wolfgang, a program that takes an inside look at what is happening in Western New York with news, features, and special guests. Now, here's your host, Penny Wolfgang.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to On Target with your host, Penny Wolfgang. We're here every week, and we talk about subjects that we think are important and educational and topical for all of us who live here in the Western New York community. We're so happy that we are back live, so to speak, and we can give you new, fresh programs and a new, fresh perspective on things that are going on here in Western New York during COVID and pre-COVID and hopefully after COVID, if there is such a thing. And we are very focused, as I said, on every issue around COVID and what has to do with Western New York and how it has affected us here. Besides our health, we have talked several times about the economic effect and what has happened to our venerable institutions here during the last couple of months. And in the studio with me today is William Vanersek. And Mr. Vanersek is the aviation director for the Niagara Frontier Transportation Authority. And with that, he has jurisdiction over particularly aviation, so the airport, as aviation means and says. And we have been focused, a lot of attention has been focused lately on the issues with airplanes, with flying, with airports, with all that has happened nationwide, of course, not just here in Western New York, but as I said, we try to concentrate on what's affecting us in our everyday lives here in Western New York. So I thought this is a really, really important place and institution, I don't know what you'd call it, to our economy here in West New York, the airport. So good morning, Bill. Good morning, Bill. Thank you so much for joining us here on Target. I wanted to take an opportunity to say that you have probably been frantically busy, and I don't know if the word is busy, but how about frantic, since all of this occurred, since COVID started, and it has affected, of all the places and economy that's been affected, I think everything to do with airports nationwide has been in the forefront of the attention for all of us. Am I right about that?
You certainly are. You know, and frantic, I guess, is a good word for it, but not necessarily frantic from a, we're very, very, very busy doing certain things at the airport. It's quite frankly the opposite. Once the COVID effects started really coming into full force, particularly towards the end of March and in early April, our passenger levels dropped to a mere drip from the faucet, and it was actually almost like a ghost town at the airport. You could walk up and down the terminals and see maybe two or three people getting on a plane at a time, and you know that's very disheartening. And part of that too, and people don't stop to think about what type of impact that has on a business. You know, we can forget the revenue generation and all that because there's very little. But, you know, a lot of it has to do with the morale of the employees that work at the airport. You know, we have a very dedicated group of folks that work out at the Buffalo Niagara International Airport. We're a medium-sized hub. We're ranked, in about the 63rd largest airport in the country at the time, anyway, with respect to the number of passengers. And of course, now that's all gone by the wayside. So it's very difficult to try to get employees to stay motivated and do their job and let them know that we still have jobs for you and you still need to do your jobs, because a lot of people were very concerned about their well-being and their ability to continue to live and budget for their household expenses, etc. So frantic in a different manner, I guess one would say here.
I just made that word up. I thought, oh, maybe that's not the right way to say it. But I think it describes what I really want to describe to our listeners is the spin-off, the economic effect that the airport has here for us in Western New York. And you're starting to talk about employees, for example, how many employees there are, how many passengers, how many planes there ordinarily would be arriving and departing, as opposed to what's happened now.
Sure. So just to put it in perspective, if we were to look at the number of flights that we had, let's just take August, for example. So August 2019 compared to August 2020, we had the number of flights that were scheduled were over 2,600 flights. And this year, we only had about 1,000 flights. So that's a significant decrease in the number of flights going out of the airport. But even on top of that, and what's creating more issues for us is that the number of passengers going out has dropped by almost 85% year over year. So the flights were flying about a 60, they were doing about a 40% of their schedule from last year, but the people getting on those planes, only about 15% are getting on relative to the numbers compared with last year. So as you can tell, that has a huge impact, not only on the airport, but also on the airlines. The airlines are going out, and when you're only having a few seats filled, they cannot be profitable on those flights. The price of jet fuel is extremely, extremely high, and that's one of their biggest expenses for the airlines is the fuel they put on the planes. And then, of course, they have to pay the pilots, and they have to pay the flight attendants as well. Those are areas that you cannot, cut back on. You can't have one pilot without a co-pilot. You can't have, one flight attendant when you need four or five on a plane. So those expenses really kind of became fixed. And so it's put the airlines in a very difficult situation when it comes to determining how many flights are we going to, remove from an airport, which airports do we remove them from, what type of service and size planes are we going to put out there. All those types of decisions have to be made by the airlines, and they're difficult decisions to make.
And not only that, but the fact of the airport itself, the facility, is, as you pointed out, like a ghost town. All of the services, the restaurants, the retail outlets have been decimated in one way or another because there's no business for them.
That's absolutely right. And just to put it in perspective, put it in hard numbers. So comparing August 2020 to August 2019, in 2019 we had people flying out of the airport, almost 245,000 people flew out in the month of August 2019. This past August, we had just under 40,000 fly out. So you can imagine, with all the, the beverage offerings, food and beverage offerings that we have at the airport, they just can't keep them all open. So they've really cut back and shuttered a lot of the offerings that we have at the airport, including the Anchor Bar. That was one of our keystone, operations here at the airport, but their demand is just not there for the concessionaires to be able to be anywhere near profitable. So they really just have a skeleton amount of crew, and they have just one or two offerings open, and those have limited hours at the airport as well. So it's become very difficult for the food and beverage operators to make money. And likewise, car rentals, in the summer months, typically, we have a huge influx of people coming up. People love to come up and visit Niagara Falls. People rent cars. So the rental car companies get a lot of their revenue in those kind of May through September, October months. And this year, they're seeing little or nothing with respect to, car rental activity coming out of the airport. So it's hurting them dramatically. And on our end at the airport, we have almost 7,000, parking spots. We now have consolidated. We've shut down our two biggest lots. We're only operating basically out of our garage in front of the terminal, which holds about 700 spots or so. And so, our revenues are way down as well, which is concerning for us.
And I was thinking about the Canadian issue, because I remember, and I know from using the airport like practically on a weekly basis, that always, every flight, if I was going to Florida, if I was going to New York, wherever, there would be half the passengers would be from Canada.
You're pretty close. We get typically on an annual measure, 30% of our passengers that fly out of the airport are driving down from Canada to get on planes out of the Buffalo Niagara International Airport. So, now with the border being closed, right off the top, we're going to be 30% lower than we ever have been before, and so that's been very problematic. And now when you compound that with the states that have been put on the quarantine list and people having and being required to quarantine for 14 days, that's also having a significant impact on us as well. And on the other end of that, a lot of the businesses that would typically fly to places like New York City, Washington, D.C., et cetera, a lot of those businesses have said, we're banning all business travel for the foreseeable future. So we've lost kind of our premium passengers, if you will, that we're normally flying, you know, once a week or more to those destinations.
Right, because business, the airlines, airports, and transportation counts on so much on business, on the, you know, business travel, and that is absolutely, I guess a thing of the past at this point, because all the businesses are working remotely, and nobody is traveling from one place to another.
Yeah, you're right. You know, Zoom used to be the the sound an airplane made when they took off. Now Zoom is a virtual meeting, right?
So, yes,
and that's it's become kind of the accepted norm, and that's going to have a long-term effect, I think, on the air travel patterns going forward.
You know, before we continue, I just want to interrupt because I haven't been doing my show so long in person that I keep forgetting. I have to tell everybody, they yell at me, tell them who you are, tell them what the program is, don't forget to remind them, right? Everyone, Kevin always says. So here we are on Target, and I'm your host, Penny Wolfgang, and we hope you listen to us every week now, and we are talking to William Vanersack, who is the aviation director for the Niagara International Airport, Buffalo Niagara International Airport, of course. Speaking of which, the airport itself, we want to talk a little bit about right before this, you know, all of this COVID hit and the pandemic, there was the biggest economic news story, really, was that the Buffalo Airport was having this big construction, essential construction was going on, and they were going to have more space for gates, luggage, new luggage carousels, and I don't know, parking. Now what? Now where do we stand? What happened?
Yeah. So that project is ongoing, and it will continue. It has not stopped construction. When the government came with the regulations, all essential services and essential construction projects associated with essential services could continue to do their construction projects. So this is an $80 million project that's going to significantly improve the way that passengers flow into and out of the airport. It's going to be a huge benefit for our travelers once we get back to some of the larger numbers we used to see. But we funded this with bond money, so we have that backed by something called the passenger facility charge. So we already had the money in the bank to do this, and so this project will be completed, should be on time, which full completion would be, call it April of 2022. And so we're getting very close to finishing our East Concourse expansion. We're actually going to be moving our offices, our administrative offices here at the airport, which are now located past the security checkpoint, to pre-security. We're going to have a huge meet and greet area. We're adding about 41,000 square feet on the east end of the airport frontage, if you will, and then we're going to add another 19,000 on the west end to create another convenience for our passengers, and then we'll be renovating, as you mentioned, the baggage claim areas. We're going to be able to actually double the capacity of inbound baggage. Now, you know, those numbers were all based on, you know, the activity levels we had before, and hopefully we'll be able to get back to something like that. The need is still there, and so the project is still ongoing.
And as far as the project goes and the money for it, it wasn't affected, as you pointed out, or I guess I'll make it a question, it wasn't affected by how much a business or how the loss of business or how the airport was doing. It's a separate fund that was already dedicated. Is that basically what you're saying?
That's correct. Those funds can only be used for the construction project.
Which is good. What about the airport itself? What is going to happen? What are some of the suggestions or what's happening to try to get business back or to get back to normal?
Well,
wait, the new normal. What are we saying? The new normal?
Yeah, I guess the new normal. You know, I mean,
I take that question back.
If you want to call anything normal,
I don't know.
But yes, clearly the Canadian border is a huge driver for us of passenger activity. And so we're, we keep hearing, a month delay, a month delay, a month delay on these things. And, until that opens, we'll be very depressed here with respect to the, amount of people that are going to be flying out. You know, we're seeing a little bit of uptick in passengers. I mean, quite frankly, in April, literally we were getting, 200 or 300 people a day flying out. And that compares on what would an average day back in the year before of almost 7,500 people flying out. So we've seen a bit of an uptick, but that uptick has only gone to about 1,600, 1,700, on a good day about 1,900. We have yet to have a day where we've flown out more than 2,000. So, you know, there's still, you know, issues for people that are, you know, and I get it, you know, not just a quarantine issue, but just the COVID effect in itself. You know, people want to stay away from crowds, et cetera, and what happens when you get on a plane, even though they're very, very safe transportation mechanisms to get from point A to point B because they have great filtration systems on the plane. You really are not going to, you shouldn't contract COVID on a plane just by taking a flight. As long as you're doing and following the rules, you know, wearing your masks, you know, the airlines have done a good job of, you know, not opening up middle seats and trying to, you know, keep limits on how many people are getting on a plane. So, you know, that's a big issue. People still have, you know, concerns, and I think rightfully so, you know, that until everybody is really following the protocols, it makes your choices of where you go and what you do become very important with respect to how do I protect myself. And so we've done a lot of things at the airport to try to help with that. We have blocked off every other seat in our hold rooms so that people aren't, you know, sitting next to each other. We've shut down, like we talked about, a lot of the food and beverage retail operations so that we're not getting, you know, congestion in there. We constantly clean our airport. I mean, literally, you could almost eat off the floor of my airport. It's incredible what my custodial staff has done. You know, through all of this, their spirits are pretty good, and they just are focused to making sure they can give the best travel experience for our customers and the safest travel experience for our customers that they can by making sure everything is sanitized, and they're, you know, constantly in a cleaning mode. So, you know, we're hopeful somewhere along the way we get back to this, and a lot of credit goes to my frontline folks.
You mentioned, you answered just now the question that I was just going to ask you, but what have you done and what have you guys done at the airport itself to make sure that, I think people are worried, we'll talk about the planes in a second, you did, about the middle seat and all that, but a lot of people are worried more about going to the airport itself because they are imagining, you know, going through the line, as it used to be in the old days, good old days, going through the line for security and going to waiting in the waiting room, not the waiting room, the gate, waiting at the gate to get on the plane. And then thinking of the day of Southwest, for example, line up. I mean, you really are usually right on top of, in regular times, you would be right on top of the other person, and there would be crowds. And I think in people's minds, they see it that way, and they're afraid of that part and wherever you land and changing planes and going to another airport, for example, and having to change planes, which sadly a lot of destinations from Buffalo you have to change planes somewhere to get to, as we know.
Yeah, and fewer now given the reduction in flights. But to go back to your point about, you know, the experience at the airport, when you walk in the front door, first thing you'll notice is when you go up to the ticket counters, everybody has plexiglass separations. All of the ticketing agents have their masks on. When you go through the security checkpoint line, and by the way, they all have the 6 feet spacing decals on the floor to keep people separated. And it's the same way in the security checkpoint line as well. Of course, our checkpoints aren't nearly as busy as they used to be, but we all have, you know, they all have the 6 foot measurements to keep people separated. When they go up to go through the security checkpoint, they're asked to hand them to take down their mask so they can look at their ID and make sure that's the passenger. Then both the ticketing agent and then the TSA person who is behind a plexiglass and has a mask on will then look at their boarding pass and give them passage through the checkpoint. When they get to the hold rooms, as I mentioned, we have every other seat blocked off, so you can't have, you know, many people next to each other. You're not rubbing shoulders like the old days. You have spacing, and even when you're going through the boarding process, they start the boarding process a little earlier, and again mandate that people are staying 6 feet apart as they're going onto the plane. And all of the airlines, 100% of the airlines, are requiring that you must wear a mask on the plane when you travel. So that's another layer of safety that will help stop the spread of COVID.
And I read somewhere that in the boarding the plane aspect of that, you know, how people are just always, in the old days, I keep saying, there's putting your bag up and people are walking by you and brushing past you. And I think I read that they have cleverly decided that on the boarding, people would go from the back to the front, so nobody would be passing anybody, you know, close by.
Yeah, that is it's different for every carrier. You know, Southwest is still using their same boarding process where you're assigned a number and then you get to choose your seat once you get on board because they don't assign seats. So that is continuing on Southwest. Other airlines are doing what you described, and that is, you know, boarding from back to front, if you will. But again, the big key there is that everybody that gets on that plane must be wearing a mask. That's a huge deterrent to, you know, contracting COVID, and that's something that they strongly enforce. And if someone decides that they're, once they get on the plane and they want to take that mask off, and if they refuse to put it back on, they are escorted off the plane and they're not allowed to fly with that airline anymore. So, you know, those are the types of precautions that the airlines are taking. You know, we're taking our precautions to make sure that we're making sure all of our employees, all of our vendors are following the guidelines, wearing the masks, and not congregating in large groups. So, you know, the airport is a safe, in my mind, a safe place to be. And hopefully, as we start to see a bit of recovery, we'll see a little bit more engagement of passengers coming back.
I've actually known, been talking recently to several people that have flown either to New York or Florida or wherever, and they really were telling me exactly what you just said. It was they felt so safe, and also they were fine, you know, after they returned or wherever they were going. So it was proven that it was safe. But they said they felt, you know, that all the precautions that are being taken, and not in the airport and on the plane itself, that it was perfectly harmless, if there can be such a thing, and it was a good experience. So maybe more and more people will be getting that. You know, will, as you said, as time goes by, they'll be flying, they'll be having to go somewhere or needing to go somewhere and finding out that it is a safe experience. So, and telling other people word of mouth. I just remembered something else to ask you. The when we're talking about the economics of the flying in the airport, what about there's, like, I don't know what you call it, commercial business that the airport does as well. Besides passengers, they have to fly business equipment or packages or whatever.
Yeah, so that...
I can't think of the word, but you know what I'm talking about.
No, I get you. Yeah. You know, you're talking about parcel and air cargo type services and
there you
and
go.
Integrated
Thank
freight,
you.
Et cetera, right? So those, we have and that's a mixed bag. You know, obviously we have FedEx, we have UPS, which does a lot of that. But the commercial carriers that are typically the airline passengers typically carry some of that as well. Those numbers are going to be down also because it just in general business is down in Western New York.
Right.
So we're seeing a bit of a drop-off in that area as well.
So now tell me something good about where you're going to get money, funds to make up for the deficits. The airlines are going to get maybe money from the federal government, let's say, some kind of bailout money. And would that affect you?
Yeah, so in the first round of the CARES Act, there was money allocated for airports across the country, and it was all determined by the number of passengers that flew out of your airport in 2019. So we got a pretty sizable chunk of money to be able to continue to meet payrolls here at the airport. And in return for that, we had to commit to making sure that we kept at least 90% of our workforce employed, and we have done that. And so that money right now will bring us through the end of 2020. We are hopeful and fairly confident that, you know, there'll be another relief bill passed. The current draft has another provision for operating assistance for airlines in the bill. We hope it stays in there. But a little twist on that is that the businesses at the airport, the food and beverage operators, the retail shops, those folks, you know, they didn't get any relief under the last bill. Under the new bill, if it stays, when the airport gets allocated their share of relief money, we would be to take that. We would be obligated to identify 25% of those funds that we would use to help support our businesses through actual, payments of money to keep them afloat. So I think that's a good thing. I hope it stays in the bill. But, you know, right now with the way things are happening in Washington, you know, it's a coin flip. So we'll see what happens.
Do you think, I was having tears in my eyes when you said earlier that like the Anchor Bar was either closed or doing half the business. I was remembering right before COVID how many wonderful retail and restaurants there were at the airport and different. It was so many, such an improvement in the last couple of years. There was so much variety, and I was like, go shopping at the, well, shopping is my middle name, you know. And I would, before I would get on a plane, if I had time, I would actually, you know, go into the shops and buy things or go to Anchor Bar, like you said, and look forward to that.
Yeah, and, you know, so we had a couple of new venues coming into the food court, which have now been put on hold. They were going to replace a couple of operations that we had going on. It was Pizza Villa, and then the, I forget, it was the burger place that was down there as well. But the on the exciting side, the plus side, is that the down on the, right where the Southwest planes fly out of, Delaware North just completed something called the Elmwood Market, which is an absolutely amazing food and beverage offering. It's got a big bar. They've got the food is outstanding. And now it's only being opened on, you know, minimal hours because we don't have the flow. But once that comes back, people are going to absolutely love it. It's fantastic. So we're very appreciative of Delaware North and the things that they've been able to do during this period. And they've been good partners.
We just got our fingers crossed that it's all going to come back and things are going to pick up, and you know, shortly, within the next couple of months. I'm just hoping for you guys. So I want to tell our listeners, thank you so much that we have been talking to William Vanersek, and he is the aviation director for the Niagara Frontier Transportation Authority. And thank you so much for talking to us and for giving us all this information on Target. And everybody, thank you so much for listening to On Target and for sticking with us through all through thick and thin, as they say. And we will be back with you again next week. Have a good week, and goodbye, everybody.
You've been listening to On Target with Penny Wolfgang, a program that takes an inside look at Western New York and our community. If you have any comments or suggestions, please write to Penny Wolfgang at 500 Corporate Parkway, Suite 200, Amherst, New York, 14226.